I'm good. I'm glad to have you on the podcast. And I'm curious, did that opening scenario sound familiar to you at all?
A little bit, yes. Thank you for reliving that for me.
On the Listen First podcast, you'll join us as we connect with an array of fascinating guests from varied backgrounds and perspectives to explore how we can build and become leaders that transform their families, workplaces, and communities. Tune in for insight on mastering skills like active listening, verbal and nonverbal communication, understanding behavioral tendencies, and appreciating individuality.
Hello and welcome to the Listen First podcast. I'm your host, Adam Salga. What happens when your travel buddy doesn't chart every step of the journey the way that you do? Will there be harmony or havoc? Tune in to find out. Picture this. You're heading into a train station with your friend to catch a 4-hour train ride for a fun weekend away. You're a traveler who likes to be prepared. So you've intentionally planned to arrive at the station 10 minutes before the train departs, to have time to choose your seat, get settled, get your bags ready, get your snacks ready, and ease any travel concerns. You get to the station, and as you go to the track, your friend says she wants to go into CVS to buy a snack. You say, okay, I'll wait for you out here, because you want to get on the train at the same time because you don't have assigned seats. And you want to make sure that you sit together. She goes into the store and you immediately get anxious. A minute passes, then 3. You keep checking your watch. 6 minutes until the train leaves. Your mind starts to spiral. She's been gone for ages. You'll be so annoyed if you miss this train because she went in to get a snack from the store. You check again and you know the train is going to leave in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Finally, you see her emerge from the store and she tells you, there were so many options. I just couldn't decide which one to pick. Thankfully, you made the train and you used the first 20 minutes of the ride to bring your heart rate back down. In this episode today, we're going to discuss our 3 moves when someone or something is bothering you. Welcome to the podcast. I'd like to welcome in Kat Edmondson, the Chapman Foundation Director of Content and Systems, and also a facilitator. How have you been, Kat?
Hi, Adam. I've been doing well. Happy to be here. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on the podcast. And I'm curious, did that opening scenario sound familiar to you at all?
A little bit, yes. Thank you for reliving that for me. That opening scenario was from one of my most recent blog posts about mastering the art of confrontation. And yes, it was very much a recent experience that I've had.
Yeah, I could tell when I read through it that there was a lot of emotion. You know, I tried to bring that out, but what were you going through?
You definitely brought it out. I remember feeling a little anxious and a little frustrated in that moment because I was so ready to get on the train and had planned and prepared. And then things didn't necessarily go exactly according to my plan. So was definitely a little nervous in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to say I'm glad that that happened to you, but I am happy that we get to analyze it on this podcast. So hopefully everyone has an opportunity to go through and relearn these 3 moves when we are bugged. So it sounds like this was a great opportunity for you to practice your skills that you learned in the Our Community Listens course.
Yes, absolutely. And I love how you kind of said that we get to go back and analyze, because I did a lot of kind of analyzing post the moment about the different ways that I could have responded to that situation. But you're absolutely right. I was grateful that I had these 3 moves to kind of think through. And as we talk about in our community listens, we know that when someone does something that bothers us, that bugs us, we always have 3 moves. We have 3 kind of choices on how we can respond. And those 3 moves are accepting the behavior, right? I can choose to accept it, adjusting your circumstances, or leaning into effective confrontation and delivering a confrontation message. When we think about that first one of accepting the behavior, right, kind of thinking about what is it that this person is doing and can I fully accept it? Can I understand why they're doing it? What their perspective might be, kind of what's driving that behavior. But we have to be wary of false acceptance when we're thinking about accepting someone's behavior. What do you think about, have you experienced false acceptance before, Adam?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what false acceptance, general thought on that for you.
I know that I am falsely accepting something when I tell myself, okay, yep, I get it. I can understand, can accept why they're behaving this way. And then I'm still tempted after to call my sister and say, I cannot believe that this happened. Or will you listen to this? Can you believe this? Right. So if I'm still bothered by something after I've said that I can accept it or that it's fine, pretty good indicator that it's some false acceptance.
I appreciate you sharing that. I'm similar in that way. Mm-hmm. I'll share a really quick story that if I had a friend who I loaned some money to one time. And we went out to eat about a week or two after, and I hadn't seen any of that money come back. And it wasn't vital to get it back at a certain time frame for me. Mm-hmm. But I had told him at that time it was totally fine. When he has it, pay me back. Well, we went out to eat, and then I see him spending what I consider things that aren't inside my values. Like an extra drink, extra dessert, and then lotto tickets, which is just so far from like my behavior of where I would spend money. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I did not accept this behavior well, and I became passive aggressive. So I know, like you mentioned, you might call your sister because it's still on your mind. I know that if I start getting passive aggressive, even with someone who I really care about, I know that there's something still bothering me in the back of my head, that there's still an issue that I'm not directly either confronting with myself, maybe first, or directly confronting with that person. So those are kind of my traits that I know come out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great example, Adam. And it's great that you're kind of aware of that. These are the emotions that I'm still feeling.
Despite being aware, it can still happen.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. You can have all the awareness in the world, but you're still going to have those emotions, right? And they're going to manifest and show themselves in your case, passive aggressiveness. Yeah, even having that awareness of those emotions is something that I can struggle with sometimes. And it's something we talk about in our Community Serves, our second foundational course from the Chapman Foundation. And I'll never forget going through the activity where we have to list out all the emotions that we've felt and then kind of do some digging deeper and realizing just how difficult it can be sometimes for me to even identify what those emotions are. And I definitely realized that I was doing some false accepting in this situation because I still had lingering emotions and was still kind of bothered by the behavior.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in your blog that even a week later, you were a little annoyed by it. So I'm curious, you know, why do you think that is? Is this a friend that you like to travel with often? Is that something that's, you know, someone you like to spend time with, but this behavior was really kind of still, irking you as time had gone on?
Yeah. Yep. And we don't even necessarily travel often together. I still would like to, but she's one of my closest friends who I spend a lot of time with, and I love her. I love her dearly. And so as I was continuing to spend time with her, I could notice that I was still in the back of my head kind of replaying that scenario, or that other things would still, like you said, kind of irk me. And so it kind of indicated to me, all right, we did some false accepting here. We might need to consider one of the other moves because I'm still bugged and I still have those three choices or those three moves.
So what would be like a second move that's still within your control?
So we talked about the acceptance, right? That doesn't work. The next move that we can consider that I considered was maybe adjusting the circumstances. And so kind of when we talk about adjusting the circumstances, removing the thing, the behavior, the situation that bothers us.
What's an example of like a behavior or something, you know, let's take a step away from your traveling with your friend scenario.
Yeah.
And just talk about an example where maybe that choice works to change the situation. You have control over something. What's an example of something like that?
One thing I think about often when I'm collaborating with somebody at work, if I'm emailing with them and we're just not kind of on the same page, or it seems like we're kind of disconnecting, or I'm maybe assigning tone to email and it's just not flowing the way that I want to, one easy way to adjust that circumstance is just to pick up the phone and call them, right? Let me adjust the way that we're communicating right now. Message them on Teams, see if they're free. Hey, can we chat for a minute, right? And almost 9 times out of 10, that simple adjustment is enough to be able to kind of change the way that that conversation was going and kind of lead us in a more productive direction.
Really, really love that reminder. And my favorite part of it is talking about adjustment of how you're communicating. So you're choosing to step out of the email space and into a more personal space where we're able to deliver our nonverbals more so, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, in past podcasts with Leanne just recently, we talked a lot about how nonverbals are a large part of our communication and a large part of our message.
Mm-hmm.
And be the opportunity to start incorporating some of those. Like, so you made the choice in that case to adjust the way you're communicating, the behavior of which you're utilizing, even the tool you're utilizing to communicate.
So
you're going from just written text, email to video, and maybe even in person if possible.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yes. 9 times out of 10, I feel like even that in-person communication would be better. But you're exactly right. Kind of being able to loop in the tone, the nonverbals, all of those things just makes the communication flow a lot more easily.
What about changing something physically, for example? Like maybe a situation where you physically can change the situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think about sometimes when I go to the movies or something and I'm sitting next to someone, or someone sits down next to me or close to me, and they like have really loud popcorn or a really loud snack, or they just keep talking to the person that they're sitting next to. I know that's a big pet peeve of mine. And so that physical of just getting up and moving and changing seats so that I'm not close to them, right? Because in that moment, I know that I can't accept it. I'll be sitting there throughout the entire movie, annoyed with the noise that I hear. but it might not be something that I need to directly confront on. So could just adjust the circumstances by changing where I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or just throwing, you know, M&Ms into the back of their head until they start. What? No.
I'd love for you to try that and let me know how it goes.
That might lead to something that we're going to talk about here in just a moment. maybe that's not the best piece. As, you know, you look at those options and we go back to your story of being with your friend and wanting to continue to spend time with them. So if you know that at this point, it's something you've struggled to accept, truly accept. Mm-hmm. So that's move one. Now you talk about a potential second move, the two things that are kind of in your control, you know, changing behavior. So maybe it's you spend less time with this person, but, you know, in the end, you truly don't want to.
Right.
You know, there are plenty of things that still continue to bring you joy about this person.
Oh, absolutely.
So what happens then if those two moves are not quite the right answer? What are we looking at then?
Then we look at the third move, which is to confront, right? To lean into effective confrontation and to actually confront that person.
Confront, confrontation.
Yeah.
Kind of a big scary word for a lot of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of them, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Much as I think I can talk to somebody when maybe I'm being bothered, it still is difficult because my natural behavioral tendency is to not disrupt the apple cart and to kind of keep peace and keep joy and just have fun and have a good time, right?
Yeah.
So I'm one even that, you know, struggles with that. What are some reasons, like when we go through the class, I know we talk a little bit about this, but why do people seem to avoid confrontation?
Thank you for sharing, Adam, because I don't think you're alone in that. And that's how I have been for a long time too, like very hesitant to confront. One of the reasons being not wanting to disrupt the peace, right? If we have harmony here, we kind of are used to people getting along. We don't want to disrupt that. Sometimes we're scared of what the outcome will be, and it might be a little bit unpredictable. And we don't really know what's going to happen if we do kind of, I don't know, ruffle some feathers by having a conversation or confronting. I think also it can be a little bit scary when there's not a lot of trust built within the organization or within the person relationship that you're confronting. One of the ones that I'm very guilty of too is just this belief that it'll get better on its own and it'll fix itself and it'll just go away. Right? If I don't have to do anything, time will heal. Right. So there are a bunch of different reasons why we might be scared to confront.
There is one that is listed in our workbook about anticipation of reprisal.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that?
I might get in trouble if I do this. Right? Or someone's going to come back at me and say, you shouldn't have done that. Why did you confront them?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, you know, lots of people are worried about confrontation.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit more about what confrontation truly is. Where are we going when we confront somebody?
When we talk about confrontation in our community lessons, we're really going to think about it as a conversation, right? Where it's a chance for me, who's the person who's bugged or bothered, to give voice to that reason why, that behavior that's bugging me, simply by having a conversation with someone, not necessarily going in with a solution, not going in and kind of like attacking the other person for the reason why we're bugged, but simply starting off with a conversation.
Sounds a little bit like then we need to maybe do some reframing, like mental reframing around what a confrontation is. Maybe confrontation is really just a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna get to like an opportunity to start how to start that conversation, but I want to talk a little bit about what we've covered thus far. Because if we can reframe that confrontation, then there's a really great step that we're going to talk about in a coming podcast that's next. But let's recap everything. So when we're in a situation and someone or something is bugging us, bothering us, irking us, any adjective you want to drop in there, we have three moves. Two of those moves land in category of I can change. And Kat, can you remind us of what those are?
Yeah, we can decide that, yes, we can fully accept the behavior, or we may have to adjust the circumstances and kind of remove the thing that's bothering us.
And then the other move, for those of us that are still working on those and maybe they're just not quite hitting, we can't find the solution for that, it means we may need to confront, right?
Yeah, and in this situation, instead of being the one to change, where the first two, right, you're changing, you're actually asking somebody else to change. Right. You're starting that conversation to ask them to change the behavior that they've been showing.
So that can be a big ask. Like stepping into that, it could be a big ask to ask someone to change a behavior, right? If we come back full circle to you traveling with your friend, as you stated, you know, you wanna confront them. You know that you want to do it, but now what, right? So how do we confront in the most effective way possible?
That's where I got to lean on the FBI formula, which is kind of the elements that go into the effective confrontation message. And Adam, I'm going to test your knowledge here from when you took class, maybe many years ago, but do you remember what that FBI stands for the effective confrontation message?
Federal Bureau of
That's exactly it. We bring in the FBI.
They've got skills that I don't have. No, I'm sorry. It truly is feeling, behavior, and impact. So working on what those are, that's going to be our next podcast, is a discussion around how to create an effective FBI statement.
What do you think? Looking forward to it.
Yeah. What do you think? Next episode, we kind of continue to break this down.
Yeah. We'll
continue to talk about your train trip. You comfortable with that?
I'm good. That sounds good to me. Yep. I love it.
Awesome. Kat, thank you so much for going through the three moves that we have when someone or something is bothering us. I appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Adam. Thanks for having me.